It's Thursday night. Time for the Psychic View with your hosts, Miss Peg, Maureen, Allura, and Steve. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for your free reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Welcome to the Psychic View on Psychic Access Talk Radio, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all the psychics are interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, ensuring you the highest quality of quality service.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maureen Halloran, and you are listening to The Psychic View, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. Tonight we're introducing Steve Frampton, our new fellow co-host, and a warm welcome to you, Steve. How are you doing?
Thank you, Maureen. I'm doing very well and extremely excited to be with you today, and also I'm really excited by the subject of this evening's show.
You're cool. And Peg, how are you doing?
Welcome, Mr. Steve. I'm glad that you're here with us. Actually, it's been a really great week. The weather has cooled down. I love it, love it, love it. It's been a great week.
That's great. And Allura, hello.
Hello. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, thanks. I am doing great. How about you? And how about you?
I am doing great. It's been a very hot day in Florida, but, you know, as always, the sun is shining, and we get wonderful rain while the sun is out. It's beautiful. And
come
welcome, Steve.
Sponge.
That's right. And we love it.
You have no gators in your yard, do you, or anything like that?
Oh, of course I do. I actually live on the water. We get to watch them from afar. Well, from up close, especially if there's a flood. But no, actually, they're just part of our environment. We accept them. They accept us. We accept them.
And the purses are nice too.
So anyway, yes,
that's awful. I didn't mean that. So tonight I'll be interviewing our special guest, and he's author and researcher. Stephen Hill, known as the electronic medium, and because of his ability to give spirit a voice using EVP and ITC devices such as the Joe's Box, his new novel, Something Unseen, chronicles his journey as a paranormal investigator who began his research while investigating his own hauntings. So this will be really great. So be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show for a free on-air reading by four gifted psychics, as ourselves. We will announce that call-in number later in the show. So if you were unable to catch our show on astrology last week, it was a great show, by the way, you will find a recorded archive link as well as archives for all the previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. Okay. We received an email today. You all... my co-host, yes?
Yes.
And it's very sensitive, and I feel very... one of you would like to read it, and if we want to address it, I want my heart goes out to this woman. And
let me pull it up here.
Yeah, it
makes
was,
sense.
And sure. I really feel... I want to let her know, of course, if she's listening, my heart's out to you. And
I think she's in the chat room.
Oh, well, she is. Okay.
Nancy,
I heart's out to you, and it must be... I don't even
absolutely.
Know.
Absolutely. I know. She, this is...
Oh, there it is. Okay, I see her.
I have it.
Okay,
I have it if you... Yes, not a problem. Our 15-year-old daughter committed suicide on November 19, 2009. I've tried to use a digital recorder to contact her. Unfortunately, to date, I have not been able to contact her. I really want to know if she is in heaven and if she ever visits. I've been told I am intuitive. However, since her death, I have not had any sense of her. I was the one to find her and had to cut her down. This might be the problem. Can you help me in any way? Thank you for caring.
You know, what do you think? Maybe, would you like us to address this in the reading area?
Yeah,
I think
could we,
so.
Could we do that? Yeah.
I also think that, just as a thought, Maureen, possibly, and I don't know if Stephen can address it, our guest, because he might be able to explain what happens under those circumstances.
I will. You know what? I thought I would bring it. I'm going to integrate it into the interview about this situation, about that. If he might have some experience of that in some of his investigations as well. So we also will, though, personally direct help. You know, Nancy, I want you to know we will also focus in on all of us on that with you as well. But I will ask Stephen about it. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I feel for you, and I hope you're doing well as could be expected, and your whole family too. That's very difficult.
Yeah.
And it's very heartfelt, and I'm glad. It's really nice that you reached out, because that must have been hard too. You know, when they're here, but I respect you and sharing that with us. And so anyway, we're going to do that. And so we wanted to let you know though before, you know, we didn't want to not say anything. So anyway. So we're going to do that. We all chose to do that. Okay, great. So how about let's check in with Miss Peg on what to expect with our planetary weather.
Okay, good. My heart goes out to you too, Nancy. Also, I'm looking forward to the end of the show. I've got some hits for you. Anyway, everyone, we're still in the riding the energy of yesterday's new moon in Virgo. The Virgo energy believes in work as a virtue, as a requirement even, for a virtuous, worthwhile, and fulfilling life. It signals a time starting something fresh or gaining clarity. Maybe even taking a leap of faith. There is an urge to take maybe you take baby steps in this leap of faith. The moon in Virgo brings perception about all the little details and how we can help and serve others. Enjoy nurturous foods, pure deeds, clean surroundings. It's time to be realistic. Please remember that we're still feeling that stagnation of Mercury retrograde. Don't expect any relief to begin until September 12th. During the retrograde, this information we receive from people in our environment would be misinterpreted, okay? And what we say is not what we mean. And you know I say what you mean and mean what you say. There's a bumpy period will last for about 3 weeks. Like I said, it's going to level off around September 27th, bringing us back to feeling a bit normal, and I say that in parentheses. As fall approaches, many in temperate latitudes look forward to watching the leaves turn color from drab green to mixed shades of yellow, orange, and red, my favorite time of year. The fall stars have something in common with autumn leaves, for they too are rich in warm hues. Right now we are in prime sightseeing time for the Perseids meteor showers. They have been observed for about 2,000 years, with the earliest information on the meteor shower coming from the far east. And the shower is visible from about mid-July each year, with the peak of activity between the 9th and the 14th of August, depending on the particular location of the stream. And during this peak, please remember that the rate of meteors reaches about 60 or more per hour.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. In the skies for the whole month of August, Mercury, Venus, gathering low in the west at dusk, and they set within 2 hours of the sun. Jupiter becomes a major attraction from late evening until dawn, with both Uranus and Neptune making worthy targets for binocular users. Brilliant Venus will stand out more often than the others. You know, to have some fun with your friends, your kids, or your spouse, grab a set of binoculars and head out for the evenings and skywatch. We have a first quarter moon Wednesday the 15th. It rules in Sagittarius. The first quarter moon is a week after the new moon, when the moon has completed about a quarter of its turn around the Earth, therefore the first quarter part, that is, the quarter of it. So this is the first quarter phase. Learning the new moon, learning the moon phases period can truly help us see the world around us. There have been, you know, I've talked for the first few months of this show, actually, in the weather, there were so many moon void of courses, and there have been such a small amount of them in this month of September, they're not really even worth bringing up. And basically, most of them are worth during the wee hours of the morning, and even sometimes people are sleeping around the world. So you're not, because they're going to come back again, and I'll let you guys know. So I'm going to close out this week's weather with a quote. You know, I search endlessly every week. I find it amazing. Like three times in a row, Maureen and I have come up with the same quote. I'll bet you didn't find this one, girl. Really simple and basic, and it's from T.S. Eliot. It says, "Humankind cannot stand very much reality."
Oh.
So true.
Yeah, that is true.
That was very nice. And I know I did not this week. It's unfunny. But probably next week we'll do it again. It is. It happens. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
That was great. Thanks, Ms. Peg. That was really great. And it was cool. And I think we all can agree that the planetary weather is as it is. So.
Yep.
Without further ado, I think I'm going to say, welcome to the Psychic View, Stephen.
Hello, Maureen.
Well, there you are. There's your voice. It's so great to have you with us tonight.
It's so great to be here, Miss Peg, Allure, Antoine. I hope you're all doing well this evening.
No, it's actually Steve is now. There's a Steve. Antoine. Antoine had to go off to do some other things because he's so busy. So now Steve is with us, and so there you have it.
Well, my apologies. I wasn't aware, but it's great to be here this evening.
It's so nice to have your voice here. I love you. I really do. I've always liked your voice, and I'm sure a lot of people will agree. He's got a great voice.
Well,
so
I'm
Steve,
turning red over here, but thank you.
You don't think you do? You know you do. You should put it in a box.
Steve's box.
Steve's box. Anyway, Steve, I wanted to ask you, you know, and everybody might not or know, Steve is one of my lovely fellow co-hosts over at PTN, and so I have a relationship with Steve that is nice sometimes, but anyway, I'm nice to you. But anyway, it's going to be really easy going interviewing you, and I think what you do is great. But I know that other people want to know, and I thought this is very interesting because when we talked about this, but what is an electronic medium?
Well, I was given that title by a clairvoyant, Gabrielle Goodman. An electronic medium, in my view, and as she explained it to me, is someone that gives spirit a voice using electronics, and such as traditional electronic voice phenomena. Of course, those are voices or sounds that are not heard at the time they're recorded. They are, however, audible upon playback. Then we have the ITC devices, such as the Joe's Box, and the popular hacked radios out there. ITC stands for, Instrumental Transcommunication. And I kind of equate it to an old man that needs a hearing aid. I don't hear them as you do, Maureen, or perhaps another psychic or medium would. I hear them through the use of the electronics, but in doing so, I'm able to give spirit a voice for everyone to hear. For example, perhaps a medium or a clairvoyant would say, in a location, I see a little girl in a corner. She's telling me her name is Sally. And what I do is record the little girl, because I have no doubt that the clairvoyant sees this little girl. I have no doubt that the little girl says, my name is Sally. But what I try to do is record this communication using the electronics, and so everyone can hear her say, you know, my name is Sally. And I think that, it gives a different perspective. Because, you know, how many times, Lord help me, I'm empathic and I'm sitting here with four psychics. But, how many times have you heard something and you relay that and you wish, you know, gosh, I wish the person I was telling this could hear what I'm hearing.
Absolutely.
And, that's what I try to do.
And actually, Stephen, what that is awesome. Because not only that is with us, some of the psychics I've got, I don't have that stuff going on, but they hear it from the angels, people ask them, but you have something that's right there, audible, that you can get something. Well, I've heard what I've heard you're captured, and they're unbelievable. So that way. And plus, you said something very interesting. You don't doubt, like if I said, there's a little girl, Sally, I can hear it, although it's not the same as picking it up on the EVP device or whatever. So what you'll do is use the device to give it a voice. So then you can go, well, look more here. You want to hear it this way. Or you'll go to somebody else that couldn't hear what I hear because they don't run in that way, of course. So, and that makes sense why you would be called the electronic medium. I love that. I love that. I when you first told me about that, I thought that was so great because I've never heard of it. I don't know about everybody else on my host, what they feel about that, but have you ever heard of an electronic medium?
I've never heard of that either. I thought that was very interesting. It's the first time I've ever heard it.
But it's true. Yeah. Steve, go on.
I was just going to say it fascinates me because I've been asking a number of doctors and specialists recently about the effect of electric and electromagnetism upon an individual's energy and health. So I'm really fascinated to hear how EVP works because I know from personal experience that there's a very strong correlation between our energy, the energy that we use as human beings, the energy that we use as psychics and mediums, and also the sources of energy that we use in our homes every day for electrical equipment, our computers, etc. So I'm fascinated to learn more because I just feel there's a huge connection between different types of energy.
I agree.
Yeah, and that's a good question. That's a question that actually I want, like Steve, I'm sorry, did I interrupt? You wanted to say something back about that, Steve? Because I was going to ask you, what exactly is an EVP as far as, you mentioned to it, but are they reliable? Because they are.
You know, these things don't always happen on cue. If I go into a location reportedly haunted, for example, I find that I get more electronic voice phenomena, we call them voice anomalies. I find I get more if I don't go in making demands of whoever I'm trying to communicate with. I get far more results if I just go in, operate the equipment. And, you know, that's a good question. How does it work? It's fairly reliable in my case. And I got into this, I thought quite by accident. I was told later that I was led into this. And as far as how it works, there's many, many theories. There's thousands of people researching electronic voice phenomena. We all have our theories. Some believe or theorize that maybe it's your own thoughts transferred by your own kinetic energy into the device. I tend to disagree with that theory because these things that I record, not even in my subconscious, I don't believe I am thinking or causing this to be, my thoughts to be transferred onto some type of electronic medium or media, such as the camera audio. I get a lot of anomalous voices on my camera audio when I'm in a location filming. And before I ever got into the ITC, or that is where I feel the ghost boxes, the hack boxes, and these are simply devices, and they're very controversial, but they're simply devices that are designed to sweep the AM or FM radio bands. A gentleman by the name of Frank Sumption, around 2001 or 2, I don't remember exactly the date, discovered, and he is a retired electronics engineer, he discovered that by sweeping a radio band that he was getting what seemed to be relative responses to his questions. Now, Frank will be the first one to tell you he doesn't know what he's talking to. Are they spirits? Or the UFOs, he doesn't know, but he was convinced enough to continue in his experimentation and research that, yes, he was getting responses from some form of intelligence that could use this device to communicate. But I worked with traditional EVP, with recorders and camera audios, for about 2.5 years before I was introduced to the ITC devices. What I believe, you know, people say, Steve, what do you think you're talking to here? Skeptics will tell you that there's a rational explanation, that the professional broadcasters, for example, talk shows on the radio, and a strong signal bleeds through, and through audio matrixing, we're kind of hearing what we want to hear. And turning this into wishful thinking that we are communicating, but in my 2.5 years of research, the data I've collected points that this is not the case. And what I actually believe I'm communicating with, and I can only tell you what they tell me, is spirit. They've called themselves spirits. They call themselves, even went as far as to label themselves as ghosts. And as you know, as all of you know, all four of you, spirit is around us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least I believe. But what I'm dealing with is, from what they tell me, they are earthbound spirits. I get many requests for help. Some just may have a message that they feel like they need to relay that's holding them here. Many of them ask for prayer, as odd as that may sound. So I believe they're earthbound spirits, and they're in this realm. Are they trapped here? I don't know. They seem to be. But for some reason, from what the data that I've collected, prayer is what they seek. They've asked to cross, help us cross, save us, release us, free us.
Wow.
And I got into this, as I said before, and it's, in my view, quite by accident. I was at a cemetery doing some genealogical research, and when I got, I was filming the headstones for later reference. And when I got home and started reviewing my film footage one day, there was a voice on the camera audio, and it was a faint whisper, but I could very clearly hear what it was saying, and it said, "Pray, pray for me." Of course, I went to great lengths trying to explain this away, but I knew that I was the only person in that cemetery on a bright, sunny Saturday morning. No one was around me during my visit there. No one in flesh could have gotten close enough to imprint their voice on the camera audio. They would have had to been whatever, whoever said those words, "Pray for me," would have had to been standing right beside me. And the thought of this gave me goosebumps, because I came into this, I've got a strong Christian upbringing, a strong Christian background. I was a choir boy for years at church. You can't guess what part I sang, can you?
I don't know.
Bass.
It was a Aretha Franklin style.
Bass, so. Too. But in any case, I had to look at it from a more or less religious standpoint. You know, why would this voice request prayer? And was it talking to me? If so, what could I do, you know, to help whoever that was that was apparently making that request of me? And this led me back, excuse me, to the cemetery with a digital voice recorder, several trips. And I was finding that I was getting responses to some of my questions. The more I went back to the same location, the more time I spent there, the clearer the voices got. And this shook, I was raised Presbyterian. I was taught that, you know, you either go to heaven or you go to hell, depending on your actions here in this life. You know, your choice, choose wisely. But there's nothing in between. And that was what I was taught to believe. And when all this first took place, it shook my foundation of reality. It caused me to question my own religious beliefs, and as well as my own sanity at times. But I do feel that if this is a gift, I've been called a natural born empath or empathic.
But yeah, you are empathic, and we've spoken about that. In fact, being empathic as well is interesting because it can be a bittersweet feeling for you because, you know, it's interesting you say prayer. I wanted to bring this up. Prayer, to me, when somebody, whether they're not physically, passed, prayer is, and you said it's kind of weird, but and to me, that would be the first thing. If I was, let's say I was trying to feel that energy, if I was in that place, I wanted to go off to where I wanted to be, go pass over and be where the light, whatever, and not be stuck, I would say pray. I would definitely say pray.
Presbyterians, as I mentioned, don't believe in any type of purgatory.
Yeah, I know. We did.
Being from
a religious
background, though, I kind of equated it to some Bible verses, and one of them that really intrigued me through all of this, and it still does, is from the book of Peter, and I'm not a Bible thumper or a preacher, but it's very interesting to me, and the verse goes something like, "For this reason was the gospel also preached to them that are dead, so they may be judged as men on earth, but live as God in spirit." Now, why would you preach the gospel to the dead? I mean, that seemed to go hand in hand with their prayer request.
Yes. I understand.
One real profound, or I've got many profound EVPs, but during this time of my awakening, we'll call it, spiritually, in the paranormal sense, one of the EVPs I got when I asked, "Why are you here? Why are you still here?" Because, what I was taught, that when you die, if you've been a good fellow all your life and tried to do the right thing and seek your God, that you'd go straight to heaven. And one of the EVPs I got when I asked, "Why are you here?" was a reply, and it was very clear. The gentleman said, "We cursed at God." So this also seemed to correlate with that verse that I just quoted from the book of Peter. I went to my pastor at my church, and I had a theological debate when all this was taking place, and I said, "Pastor, do you believe in a purgatory?" And, of course, he says, "No, our doctrine makes no mention of this place. I do not believe in it." And so I quoted him that scripture. I just quoted you, and boy, I got a funny look. But I think when I left there that he was probably thought I was crazy. And I even had my own doubts, like I said. But, so I'm no longer Presbyterian. And
well, that's
nothing
that's
against
okay.
them or anyone who is. We all have our own beliefs. But mine changed through my experiences. Mine changed. So that's what kind of got me into this. And I equate, based on the data I've collected during my research now for several years, I think the paranormal and religion, which is a very taboo subject for some, because I think it takes them outside of their belief system. But I equate the paranormal and religion as being intertwined. I don't think you can have one without the other. If these are spirits we're talking to, they're asking me for prayer. They're wanting to get to what they call the light, pass through the light. as I said, they even term it as heaven. Then it has to intertwine with religion, at least in my view.
That's true. You know, because life...
Go ahead, Maureen. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Death.
I didn't interrupt.
Oh, I'm sorry, Steve, because I agree with you, because life and death are one in the same. You know, we could bring in life. We all know we go. So they are one in the same. I mean, they are, I agree with that, what you're saying.
Well, when Gabriel Goodman, I even went as far as, I had a local ghost group out here. I won't name any names during all this, because I got what I term as fallen home from the cemetery. And you have to look at it from the spirit standpoint. Okay, if I am in this purgatory and I am trapped here in whatever realm on this earthly plane, I might have been hanging around that graveyard there with my earthly remains for years. And all of a sudden, here comes some guy with a camera. And I say, pray for me. Well, then, 2 days later, he's back here with a recorder saying, who asked for prayer? So then I know that he heard me somehow. I've tried to communicate with others that came to, you know, visited the cemetery, and they don't hear me. But this guy apparently has a way to hear me. Now I've got a choice. I can either lay around the graveyard here for another 200 years, or I can go with the only person that in my mind can help me. And that's why I think I was followed home to begin with. Now, I called a local ghost group out here because of things my wife and I experienced. And I think they were more or less genuine in their effort. And they were conducting what they referred to as a preliminary investigation. And you see, at this time, all this was very new to me. And they stayed probably 30, 40 minutes and asked me a few questions and walked around the house with, it's funny, Stephen mentioned electromagnetic tism. They walked around the house with electromagnetic field meters, K2 meter, temperature gun, trying to collect some kind of data that would support my claims of activity here that my wife and I had experienced. And they did a short EVP session, maybe 5 minutes, and they left and said, we'll get back to you. And they didn't call me back immediately. I ended up calling them back, and I could tell they weren't as excited to hear from me as they were on my initial visit. And that's fine. They came out. They didn't get anything. And I don't hold that against them. But that's what led me to Gabriel Goodman. And I didn't even know Gabriel was a psychic or a physical medium at the time I contacted her by email. But I just read on her website that she had been in the paranormal investigation field since 1980 with her group Eastern Paranormal, which she founded and heads up. And, you know, I was telling her my experiences, and I didn't even get into it good at all. I'd hardly begun. And she said, hold on a minute. And it sounded like I could hear her writing something down on a piece of paper. And she says, I know what's going on at your house. She said, your house isn't haunted. And I'm like, oh, yes, it is, lady. Believe me, my house is haunted. She said, no, it's not. You're a haunted person. And I said, well, what does that mean? She says, well, what's just been revealed to me is that you're a natural-born empath. And I said, empath? I've never heard of it. She said, it's a sixth sense. Look it up. So I Googled it. And, you know, talk about a mind-blowing
experience. I mean,
that was one. And she said, natural born means that it is from birth. I think that when I was young, I experienced some things that perhaps scared me, and I was afraid of them. And then when I was 11 years old, I was in a terrible car crash. I was ejected from the vehicle. I believe I had an out-of-body experience, but I believe the sharp blow, I had like 100 stitches in my forehead. And, of course, all you psychics know that's right there in your third eye chakra, your forehead, center of your forehead. And I think that turned off my gift. And then years later, at almost 50 years old, I had a accident at work where I injured my back pretty severely, and also had a sharp blow to the back of my head. And I think perhaps that this sharp blow woke whatever I have back up, if you can understand that.
Oh, I can. And, you know, that's interesting you bring that up, because when I was in the 1990s, that's interesting you bring that up. I never thought about that. I was body slammed by, not by choice, and I started thinking I lost everything I was working. And so it was a little bit of an opposite way with me. And so I didn't have a sense of smell for over a year, and I thought I couldn't do my work anymore. But I got over that. But I understand what you're saying because in my head I thought, well, that's ridiculous. In my head, no pun intended. But it did hit my head, and I thought, I can't do my work. I had just convinced myself. But what you bring up is very interesting because that makes sense to me, what you're saying. It's almost like because you got hit in the back of the head after having the 100 front stitches in the front, right? Is that what you're saying?
Well, the accident when I was 11, I suffered a concussion, and I had many stitches in my forehead due to glass and being thrown from the vehicle. And I think that maybe knocked it out of me, if you will.
Right, right.
And then the other injury the doctor said, you know, my injury at work, he saw no sign of a concussion with all the MRIs and CAT scans. But that seems to be about the time that I started realizing that there is something, or at least in my view, beyond this physical body, some form of consciousness that keeps on existing long after our bodies have turned to dust. And again, from a Christian standpoint, I have to believe that the paranormal and religion are very closely related. So I hope that answered.
You're very interesting. I find you very interesting, Stephen. You know, and I always, you know, I have a fun time with you. But what I wanted to, you know, what I think about being, because you are an empath, I think that because. And also, you have a background as an electrician, which is interesting when I spoke to you.
Yes, I'm a commercial electrician by trade.
Yeah, and so you connect with those, as I call, tools. You use those tools, and you are an empath. You got this mixture going. It's perfect. It's like a fine chef that can put in just the perfect ingredient of everything to bring it all together. So it's almost like you fuse, no pun intended, but you fuse well, very well with them because you're somewhat of an advantage with being, with having the professional, you know, electrician background. And then you have that empath issue going on. And because I think everything has an electric vibration. I think there's electric. We're all energy. So
yeah,
or
that's
frequency.
Right.
That,
we're all energy.
Yeah,
everything is energy.
Exactly. So you're using this technology that was not ever around back in the 1800s, for instance. They were doing seances for their trying to get some messages of energy. They didn't have technology like we do now. So being an empath, you're able to sense these vibrations even more so with your tools you use, and you can sense the truth behind the cover, and you'll act compassionately is what I feel you do to help that energy express themselves, and I think they feel comfortable, and then you make them feel at ease and not so desperately alone.
Well, thank you for that, and I agree because. You know, if it is a gift I possess, and it was given to me from birth, I equate that to meaning from God. And I think it all has to do with one's intent. I didn't ask for this gift, if it is a gift. Sometimes, like you said, it is a double-edged sword.
Yes.
I tend to wear my heart on my sleeve most of the time, and that can get you into trouble. I always wondered most of my life, I would rather take a loss than hurt your feelings. So I kind of let people run over me in things just because I didn't want to hurt their feelings, if you can understand that.
Yes, I can. You know,
the good part about being empathic is that I can tell when someone is hurting. When someone, and I'm not talking about physical hurt, I'm talking about emotional hurt. That seems to be my strongest bond with this, emotional. And I can tell, you know, if someone's down and depressed just by the tone of their voice, and I'll try to instinctively to reach out to them and say, hey, what's wrong? You know, what's bothering you? Because I can tell, and they usually, and I've had this happen many times, people I've never met before in my life will come up to me, and sometimes I don't even have to say hi. I just look them in the eye, and before I know it, I know their life story. I know all the problems, what their kids are doing, and it's just uncanny how often this actually happens. But, you know, if it is a gift, if it was from birth, then I have to equate that to it was given to me for a purpose. And as I say, I didn't ask for the gift. So if the purpose isn't to help others, whether they're in flesh or in spirit, then I don't want it. You see?
Because what I don't want it either. But Stephen, listen, there's not a lot of people the investigators, the paranormal, that are, you're pretty much a very unique one. I feel very strong. I feel, and I see this as being as such. And I think you would agree with me. I'm not asking you to, you're not bragging or tooting your horn, but I do see this to be the case because being an empath, the compassion is so it's there. That's who you are. And so you really do want to make the, because the paranormal investigate, you do want to help, really help these people, and that's why probably that one, like you said, came around for you, came to your home, or came along, or was there. It wasn't a haunting, really. You are the haunting, but that person, people like you're in that cemetery, they know you're going to be the one that will help them through it, not just
well,
a bunch
it,
of other
know,
guys.
Well, I got into
there.
the paranormal research end, investigating my own haunting. Since I didn't get any help from the church, I didn't ask them for their help other than just have this little theological discussion, which ended with the pastor thinking I was bonkers, I'm sure. I called a local ghost group in who apparently believed in the existence of ghosts, but they apparently didn't believe me. Who do you turn to? I mean, who in the world do you turn to?
I
had to turn to God.
I
didn't have anybody else.
I know.
And when I reached Gabrielle and she shed some light onto my situation, it all started to make sense. And she told me, she says, if you're frightened by this, your wife's being frightened by the activity in your home, they're just wanting attention, you can either try to ignore it or you can choose to explore it. And as I told Gabrielle, once you realize what I had realized, there's no ignoring it.
I
might as well explore it. And I believe that, I don't go out and seek residential cases. They do contact me through my website, PiedmontParanormalResearch.com, and I get several requests a year. I don't take up every request. The first question I ask them after I hear their claims of activities, the proper term for it, is what do you hope to accomplish by my coming? Most people are scared to death. They want some kind of data to support their theory that they are perhaps seeing shadows or hearing voices, or either that or come give me a rational explanation why my door slammed at night. Come give me a rational explanation for these voices I'm hearing. Explain it away for me. They, whether it's paranormal or some kind of logical explanation, rational explanation, they want to know because they can't find the answers for themselves. And a lot of people that find themselves in this situation seem to be almost ashamed. It's almost like they feel that they've done something wrong. And I felt the same way at first.
Right.
So, what I try to do, if the people genuinely, I feel, won't help, and that's where being empathic comes in great, because if you're lying to me, lady, even if I've never met you and we're talking on the phone, I'll know it just as soon as it leaves your mouth. It's a tremor in your voice. It's a tone. And empaths are great lie detectors. That is one of the advantages of having this gift. Now, the disadvantage is anything to do with a child an elderly person, a helpless person, my heart just bleeds for them. And I shed tears in these situations. But I believe if the people are experiencing some type of haunting activity, that if I can not only help them understand what they're dealing with, but maybe help the spirit that is causing the haunting, or I think a lot of these, what we refer to as ghosts or spirits, trying to get our attention. And if I can help that spirit, if I can talk him over, or if prayer is going to help him, I'll say the Lord's Prayer, and I'll say, God, please accept these wayward souls into your fold. And that's the best I can do, but, I'm an empath, not a priest. Give me a break. But if that's what they ask for and they think it's helping them, then that's what I'm going to try to do. And if I can take care of the problem of the spirit, then the problem of the living will take care of itself.
Right. That's right. Steve, I want to, just for a minute, we're going to take a short, we're going to take a little commercial break, and we'll be right back. So, and then stay with me, because I want to ask you a couple more, talk to you about some things.
Sure.
So, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor, PsychicAccess.com.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at PsychicAccess.com.
Hello, and we're back with Stephen Hill. And we thank you, Stephen, for hanging in there with us. And I wanted to ask you some more things, so I think it would be of interest. I wanted to know, you do have a book, you recently, and I'm very happy for you, because you recently had published called Something Unseen. Can you tell us about that and why you wrote this as a novel?
Well, the definition of a novel, according to Webster's, is an invented prose narrative that is usually long and complex and deals especially with human experience through usually connected sequence of events. And so that just perfectly fits what I've written here. And the reason I wrote it was at the nagging insistence of my wife. She said, Steve, you've got to write down your experiences just for me. So actually, I wrote the book for her. I never dreamed when I first set out and put pen to paper, because I never saw myself as a writer. I never dreamed that anyone would be reading this other than her and myself. But the more I wrote, the more encouragement she gave me. And one day, when I finished it, she said, oh, no, you're not finished. I'm like, yes, I'm finished. And she's like, well, I want you to write some more. I want to keep reading. So she was really enjoying it. And finally, she convinced me to submit it to a couple publishers. And I did. I submitted it to a real small publisher. And I submitted it to a real big publisher. And, fortunately for me, by the time the big publisher got around to turning me down, I already had a contract signed and my book was in final editing with a smaller publisher. So everything just seemed to fall into place. It's published by Old Line Publishing. And they've been great to me. The book is now in print. And I'll go ahead and plug it while we're on the subject. It's available at Amazon. It's available on Kindle for download. It's available at somethingunseen.com, and it's also will be in a bookstore near you very soon.
That is great. Congratulations.
The responses have been great. The feedback on the book's been great. And, you know, I just, if it's the Lord's will that I prosper from it, then, you know, it is all about me and my, what led me into this, my personal experiences, my thoughts, my fears, you know, how it changed my religious views, maybe down my own sanity. But, you know,
I think it's really nice to have an investigator, paranormal like yourself, do something in a book form like that instead of like the others saying, well, we've gotten these ghosts, you know what I mean. It's not a commercially type of book. It's very real, authentically your story. And also we have that on our guest site, where Stephen's guest site, where he's listed. You can also get that book there. We have it listed under Amazon for everybody
out
there.
Well, thanks, guys.
Well, it's going to be up there forever, as long as we're alive. You'll be up there with us. And, you know, I want to also say, Stephen, I mentioned he's a fellow co-host of mine at People's TV Network, or also Paranormal TV Network. And real quickly, would you tell us what your show is about, and when do you broadcast your show?
Well, my show comes on Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern. That'll be tomorrow night. And the show's called Echoes from Beyond. And it covers all forms of communication with those on the other side. Now, Maureen, you've been on my show. It covers clairvoyancy. I love to have mediums on as guests. If there's any mediums out there, psychics, who would like to be a guest on my show, you can certainly reach me at steve@piedmontparanormalresearch.com, and I'd love to set up a time for you to come on the show and either talk about what you do, or if you'd like to give readings for the viewers, we'll take call-ins, but I'd love to hear from you. But I didn't want the show. I mean, it's not that I don't want it. I love the show. I love the people I've met doing it. But I don't do it for me. I do it for them. The ones on the other side that I can give a voice, and the people that want to hear what they have to say. That's why I do the show.
The show's great, by the way, everybody. Steve, you have so many people coming to that show. I mean, really, you really pack them in.
Again, if it's from birth, then I have to believe that it's from God.
And so it is from God.
To the
You're
Lord,
great.
I give the glory. Now, again, I'm not a priest. I'm not a preacher. But, you know, I give credit where credit's due. And I know he's worked miracles in my life. And very quickly, I produce another show. Of course, I do Echoes every week. And this will be my 36th straight episode. But also, a good friend of mine, Pastor Jeff Hathcock, has a brand new show on PTN that I'm producing for him. And it's called The Barstool Pastor. And the reason Jeff labels himself The Barstool Pastor, he goes out to those that they haven't given up on God, but perhaps given up on the church. They don't attend church. And he feels like, not that we're sheep, but if the lambs won't come to the shepherd, then the shepherd will seek out the lambs. And that's what he does. And, you know, I don't attend church. Those of you listening who may have read my novel know this. And it's just seemed to fill a void in my life, working with him, being inspired. And
it's just been a blessing
to me to be involved in his project of his ministry. And I'd like to invite everyone. It's at the church hour, 11 o'clock Eastern, every Sunday morning on Channel 5 on the People's TV Network. So please stop by and worship with us. We'd love to have you. Thank you, Steve.
I'm glad. I didn't even know about that. Where have I been? I'm over there. Oh, thank you. I'm glad you brought that up.
Pay attention, Maureen.
Yeah. You know, well, Steve, I really wanted to thank you for joining us tonight. I really want to, and you know, I like I said, we're pals and stuff, but you know I have a lot of respect for you and what you do, and appreciate you sharing your insight, and more importantly, I really really want to make this clear, your commitment to your intentions of being a compassionate, which, you know, considerate and understanding paranormal investigator, which there, I feel, are not many, few and far between. So, you know, I really want to let you know. And also, I want everybody to know that you can find Stephen Hill's contact information under our guest page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. So if you didn't get his websites or you know all the contact information and where you can get his book is all on there as well. So there you have it.
Well, guys, so again, thank you for having me on. And you've been a delightful host, Maureen.
Why, thank you.
And it's totally just been my pleasure.
Thank you, Steve, so much. Stephen, I really appreciate you coming
on.
And I've learned a lot, you know.
Me too. It's been great. Thank you.
Thank you. Any of you great psychics have any words of wisdom for me before I go? Well, I've got you.
I wasn't expecting that. Turn the tables on us, huh? Okay.
He's good at that.
Actually, the one thing I'm going to say to you, Stephen, that I do get, just quick, this is on the fly since you turned the tables on me, haven't really had a chance to tune in, is trust. One of the things I want to say to you is you have amazing abilities, and I know you work with a very rational, evidential, testable, experimental type of science. And because of that, you may have a tendency to rationalize certain things away, but they're saying trust yourself. You're going to learn, if you do this, you will learn to really begin to trust your the side of yourself that is more than just logic, you know, that psychic side or the spiritual side that you have because you're very spiritual. So I would say do that. And because you believe in prayer and all those things, follow up on that. You have a message to give, and that's important.
Well, thank you for that. And, you know, I really just am here to help people, as I said before. If it is a gift, if it is from birth, and I feel it's from God, and if it's from God, then it's I do what I do in love for other people and really try to help those on both sides of the veil. And if I can't do that, then, you know, why was I given the gift?
That's true. And the thing is if you trust yourself beyond just the logical, your abilities will expand out and you'll find yourself helping people on many different levels with your work. And that's what I
agree.
Feel.
And that's what I hope to accomplish. And one more thing, ladies, I do have an event coming up Halloween weekend. It's at the old South Pittsburgh Hospital, and this is in Tennessee, not Pittsburgh. In South Pittsburgh, Tennessee. Now, this hospital's been abandoned for years, but it is open for investigation and events, and it's like a laboratory or benchmark for paranormal investigators. It is so active. Now, I don't know why the hospital is so active, but I've been there two times previous, and I've got some great audio evidence from there.
Stephen, I'm really sorry to interrupt you, but I'm really excited because I live in Tennessee. So,
oh really?
I was wondering where I haven't heard of South Pittsburgh. I think you said, but I was wondering where that is.
It's about 30 miles outside of Chattanooga, a little mountain town, beautiful, quaint little town. The cool thing about this event. You know, these hard economic times, it's been felt across the board by everyone. But I try to have these events affordably. The name of my little event company is Drop Dead Haunted Promotions. And no disrespect, but catchy name. But and what we're doing, we're spending the whole Halloween weekend, which, by the way, All Hallows Eve is a full moon. We spend the entire weekend actually investigating as well as living in the hospital because the $80 admission for the whole weekend also covers your lodging, as you will get to sleep in one of the hospital's many haunted rooms. And I always say that is, if you dare. And if you don't, that's the motels down the street. But
I will do it, but can you take friends?
DropDeadPromotions.com.
Do you have to be in the room on your own?
There's still a few tickets left, so I limit it to 30 people.
Well, I will contact
Steve,
you. I live near to Chattanooga.
Yes, Steve, that's what I was talking to you about earlier. That was what I was talking about, why I would be going is for that. So I'll talk to you about that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
right, you have to stay with me.
Yeah,
I live not far from Chattanooga.
I know. So
well,
there you go.
The I'll other side you. Would love to see you there as well
yeah.
as I. So thanks, guys.
Okay, Steve,
it's been a pleasure.
And thanks.
Thank
and
you.
I'll see you around.
Okay.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You.
No,
bye,
thank
Steve.
You. And,
good night.
Have a pleasant evening.
Good night,
great
Steve.
Show. Good night.
That was great.
Yeah,
okay.
That was.
Thank
wow.
you, Stephen. I'm not in the chat room with everybody, but I hope everybody enjoyed that. I did. Steve is a wonderful. And so at this time, I would like to take a moment to make a few announcements. And if you haven't already heard, we are presenting a four-part series on 2012. Or as we all know, 2012, Exposed. So please be sure to join us on October 7th, 14th, 21st, and 28th as each co-host presents our 2012 Exposed series. Each show will have a different theme. Be sure to stay tuned for this upcoming event. Also, be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com. This site is for anything psychic you would like to learn about. It's a wonderful, wonderful site, and because I've been there. And all of us have blogs on there. And so you'll learn about everything from reincarnation to how to have psychic development, and there's so much other. I can't go through it all, but it's a very, very the best blogging site I've ever seen, actually. If you're interested in a reading from the best psychics as well on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you will find the best verified and accurate tested psychics. There I go with my well, I'm from Atlantis. Each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from that list of some of the most gifted psychics around. Many of the gifted psychics who have worked for other sites have come to us and told us that they found Psychic Access to be the best psychic website because of the high standards required of our psychics. So I know for one, I really enjoy working for Doug, and I've known Doug for maybe for Psychic Access, and he's a good person, and he's a direct reflection of who he has with him working, so that makes a lot of sense. So I know that with Psychic Access, I'm associated with a credible psychic site with very high standards and integrity, as I am that. So my reputation is safe. So all the co-hosts here tonight are on Psychic Access Talk Radio, psychicaccesstalkradio.com, work at Psychic Access. And if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us there. We'd love to hear from you. Oh, by the way, one more thing. Site owners and webmasters can earn, this is a very good opportunity, 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, visit http://psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And there you have it. So also I'd like to say the call-in number that we'll be doing very soon, in about 30 minutes for readings at the end, well, last end of the show, is 724-444-4851. And that's, I think, all the announcements I have to make. if I forgot anything, please, co-host, let me know. Did I? No. Okay. Okay. So let's begin our round table, shall we? And Steve, our wonderful new added co-host and added to us all. And just Steve, thank you for being here. And,
you're welcome. I'm happy to be here. It's very exciting.
Yeah, I'm glad the energy is good, and I think you. With Steve, it was even more interesting because you're into the quantum. You know, your background is a lot of, well, and plus your personal stuff. But there are some things I want to ask you about. How does a, okay, I know that we spoke about this earlier last weekend to get to know each other and stuff, but what energy and how it affects you and different, and the wireless devices, you and I were talking about that, and because you are sensitive to that stuff, and so I kind of want you to kind of like explain that a little bit. So how the energy affects you. Energy is energy is energy. So
I'd be really happy to, Maureen. You know, and I was fascinated to listen to Stephen talking about EVP. I've always been a medium, and as a child I always had issues with electrical equipment, and I find that now I'm really committing my life to mediumship. I increasingly have problems with electrical equipment, and particularly anything that's electromagnetic. So I go through laptops, computers, cell phones, like they're going out of fashion. But I find now that with wireless devices, if I'm touching a wireless device, and particularly if it's metallic, I not only get discomfort, but I get pain in my hands and pain that shoots up my arm. So I'm just really, I'm very interested. I've always been very interested in the science behind mediumship and psychic work, and I'm not a scientist by any means, but I plan to spend more and more time trying to understand the connection between the spiritual energy and other types of energy, particularly electromagnetism, because whilst I don't have the answers, I know that there's a connection, and I know that there are issues with some of the technologies that we use, because, as I said, I can experience physical pain at times if I'm touching particularly metallic wireless devices. And I think it's as you increase your sensitivity, the more you open up to spirit, the more you work with energy, the more sensitive you become.
Yeah, I wonder, though, you know, it's interesting because you bring up metallic devices. I wonder if all these devices, I don't even know, I'm not knowledgeable in this, but I'm wondering, because you do, you know, you're an aspiring scientist is what I'd like to say, and I think, you know, that's a wonderful, well, that's what I see you as and hear you as saying, but I also think maybe there must be a way that they make some of these devices, not all metallic, I'm not sure, that might, and maybe you know more about that, but...
Well, it's interesting that you say that, Maureen, because it's definitely a combination of electromagnetism and metal that causes me more problems than non-metallic devices. But I've had issues for a couple of years. I live in the Smoky Mountains, or very close to the Smoky Mountains in the States, and the energy is extremely high here. It's a wonderful place to live, but you can just feel there's a huge amount of energy to work with, but it's also energy that you have to manage and protect yourself from at times. And I was really relieved about 2 weeks ago to find a wonderful chiropractor, a fantastic and very well-educated and well-qualified doctor in Knoxville. His name's Dr. Cole Hosenfeld, and when I spoke to him, and he encouraged me to give him the really big picture and to really open up and talk about my psychic work and working as a medium, I can't tell you the sense of relief I had when he said, absolutely, there is an issue with electromagnetic fields, and we need to explore that. And today he actually gave me it's like a sort of plastic bracelet that protects you and helps to how can I say to get rid of or disperse
or to be able to handle
electromagnetic energy. Yeah, and it's very interesting because I don't understand how it works, but I did some strength tests before and some flexibility tests, and I have much greater physical strength and much greater flexibility when I'm wearing it than when I'm not, and the difference is just strikingly noticeable. So there's definitely a lot going on with with, you know, electromagnetism and some of the devices that we use. And there's a connection clearly with Stephen's talk about using EVP and actually capturing sounds and communication. Again, there's some kind of connection around the use of energy and electrical equipment.
Absolutely, and then we are energy. And you know what I want to tell you? You've got a keeper of a chiropractor. He sounds like a real keeper, because that's very rare. That would be lovely, because someone that understands you being the sensitive that you are.
I've seen doctors in India, in the UK, in France, and many in the States, and people just want to, you know, they just don't, they're not interested in opening their mind to how energy and how your sensitivity can affect your health.
Yeah. They think mental hospital. They think mental hospital is
the best place to be. Well, yeah, I'm not sure about the States, but I know in Britain a long, long time ago, you know, people were drowned. If you had psychic ability or you were a medium, then you would be drowned.
Yes.
Well, you know, for me, about how energy affects me, and like I said, you know, who was it? Laura over at PTN, the owner, said, I saw her talking to a long, long time ago on some videos. She said, you know, energy is energy. She kept going on. Absolutely is that is what it is. Energy goes on and on and on. Everything is energized, crystals, everything. But for me, I'm very sensitive to the environment, extremely, to where I would get fit. They thought I had lupus when I was in my 20s. I was being seen by specialists. The thing of it is, I'm not an earthquake predictor, but I became very sensitive. I could feel the earth weeks before, but it was like coming through I got severe arthritis. It would be almost, I can't explain it. It was way over my head, but I was on a radio station at the time, and I'd just say, listen, and I could feel an earthquake rumbling so deep. I wasn't thinking I was all that either, but it was just, it's energy, the energy.
And Maureen, I'm fascinated by what you're saying, because I'm from the UK originally. You can tell from my accent, and we don't have huge storms like you have in the States. And when I moved to the States, I found the storms fascinating, because they're fascinating to watch. But I also found that they affect my energy, they affect my health, and it's really very interesting that you talk about these physical pains and almost an arthritic pain, because I've learned, well, I know that there's a strong connection between the cycles of the moon and my energy, because I can go quite crazy when there's a full moon. It definitely affects my energy, and my friends and family laugh. But I tell you, no joke, exaggeration. When I don't watch the weather channel. I'm always sort of busy doing my thing. But when a big storm approaches the area that I live in, when it gets close, I can barely walk. My knees give in, my legs hurt, and what you I very much appreciate what you've said, because that's very much my experience, particularly in the States with these very big weather systems and storms.
God, it's incredible. Nowadays, I mean, I'm not, again, I became one, but it's always come in handy. I'm not like the dogs. I feel like this weeks prior to this, and my family it gets really irked with me, but I will tell them, take it for what it's worth. I have to tell them, and I won't, just a certain feeling in my body and my pain and whatever, and lo and behold, it happens, and boom, like before these, we hadn't had one before these, where I live, and there was a 7.2 earthquake right next door to New Mexico. So, you know, I told my daughter 3 weeks prior to that, and I was really getting ill physically, but also I could, everything starts shaking around me too, by the way. It's not maybe really to somebody else, but it was for me. But, you know, and that leads me to another thing about you, Alora. What has EVP found as far as the character of the energy forming reality is concerned? You have some pretty intense stuff there.
Yeah, I did some research, and what it's found is that the character of the energy forming reality appears to change over continuum as physical and etheric. Now, the physical energy is electromagnetic or electricity, so it's interesting we're all talking, you know, that you and Steve were just talking about that. There's also subtle energy, like the bioenergy fields around us, our auric field and so forth. And basically, when it comes to subtle energy, it's the energy required for physical manifestations of etheric influences. So the influence must be whatever that, and when it comes to EVPs, that influence must be supported by energy that's compatible with physical. Okay? So experimental evidence supports the existence of this energy, the subtle energy, but it's unclear as to how it relates to the assumed physical to etheric interface. Because remember, when you're dealing with EVPs, you're going into the etheric side. So the etheric side, the etheric energy that's formed, is, they say, it apparently originates from a region that is energetically close to the physical, which is called near locale, which is near physical, and that would be the residual energy hauntings, apparitions, out-of-body experiencers, also transitional venue. These are terms, but to explain that, it's a place to become oriented before moving on to a new venue for learning, like the, quote, hospital, unquote, in which people become accustomed to not being physically and mentally impaired, exists here. Okay, so that's the etheric world. Alrighty. Then what they call the local heavens are actually regions of existence based on worldview, which appeared to be a person's attempt to hold to what's familiar to them for a time when they pass over. So a person might report having Christmas dinner with a discarnate family member at grandma's house. A lot of us have seen that, especially as psychics. We'll see our relatives. I've seen my grandparents and people like that. Okay? So what they say, isn't that interesting? So a person... So they say that a person eventually leaves that locale for what is apparently a new lifetime in a different venue for learning purposes. Okay? So we do a lot of learning on this side as well as on the other side. And it says here, considering the evidence for reincarnation, this venue may be the physical, but it may also be a different aspect of reality entirely. So there's more than one reality, and the objective evidence is inconclusive. So in other words, the actual physical objective evidence. All that's clear is that contacts say they must, quote, go on, unquote, and stop communicating. They have to move on. One contact actually described going on as dying into a new lifetime. In other words, coming out of the etheric plane back into this plane. That's why they're saying there may be evidence of reincarnation. So I thought that was really important in terms of an evidentiary, testable, sort of objective way of testing the theory of the afterlife and reincarnation.
I say that this is very interesting stuff that you researched. In fact, when I first saw it, whoa.
I know. I was like, whoa. I did the same thing.
But it was very much... It goes very well with everything that we have going on here, talking wise, in our roundtable that I'm calling it tonight. The roundtable tonight, okay? Don't you think, Steve? Don't you think you're around? And you know, Allura, I really appreciate that information, because I don't think I would have found. I've never. That's so good. I've been enlightened. Yes.
Thank you. Me too. Yeah. It was a new subject for me, so I appreciate that.
Yeah. And so I wanted to ask Steve, I may have already talked about this with you, but I had talked about this with myself too.
But I talk to myself all of the time.
It's always good, but you know what? People are doing that with their little phone, their Bluetooth, and I'm the one who started without the Bluetooth. And I'd like to take credit deserved. So I would like to know about the rules for you working with spirit. Working with spirit, the rules of engagement. We didn't talk about that yet, did we? No.
No, we didn't, but it's something that we touched upon in our conversation last weekend, Maureen.
Exactly, right.
And I think we got onto that subject because you were educating me about EVP, and I was excited about the show this evening. I plan to try EVP. It's something that I've been thinking of for some time, so I'm going to give it a try. But I'm always a little wary of tools. So I like to connect directly with with spirit, with my guides, and try to work and ask for them to allow me to work at with the highest realms possible. And, you know, using tools, particularly EVP, I always wondered whether I would be inviting issues or working with lower forms of energy. And so we were talking about that, and I was saying to you that I am going to give EVP a try, but just as when I give readings or any time I connect with spirit, there are rules of engagement. So, you know, for me, it's working with spirit is incredible, but there are rules of engagement. I remember when I was a child, people would appear in my bedroom at night. They would disturb me. I would get all kinds of different energies and characters and people, and you know, some of them more pleasant than others. And I really got to a stage where I decided, you know, there has to be some control. There has to be an agreement. There have to be some rules of engagement, just as there are when you work for a corporation. You have, you know, there's an etiquette, there's a code of conduct, etc. So I basically, one evening, I was very frustrated. I spoke with my primary guide, whose name is Arthur, and I said, and I was a child, so I was maybe a little naive in the way I said it, but I think that the message was important, and it worked for me. I'll tell you what that message was. I basically said, Arthur, I will do the work you want me to do. I will be a medium. I will work for spirit, but there have to be some rules of engagement, and one of them is I shouldn't be disturbed when I'm not working. I need downtime. I need to rest. I need to do other things. Another rule is I would like you and my guides and spirit to keep me very well protected. I don't want to be in a situation where I'm uncomfortable with this work, because that would cause me to want to stop. And so I met almost. Describe it as a contract, really. I made a contract with spirit and said, I'll do your work, but there are some rules of engagement. And so I just encourage anyone who's listening to really, really remember that we do have control in life, and we can make choices. We can choose to work with spirit. We can choose to do EVP. We can choose whatever we like. But just as we make that choice, we also have the option to ask for ourselves to ask spirit to protect us very well, educate us, and really enable us to operate with the best intentions and the pure love and light of spirit, without drawing in any energy that may cause us difficulties. So that's what I was saying, Maureen,
and I really like that, because, well, I call, you know, my way of saying, I remember I kept saying this, like boundaries, and for me, I've had issues with boundaries all my life, with my life in general, not just, well, my life is my personal work, but the thing is, I don't have these guides, and I'm not saying, like I said, I don't believe or not believe in anything. All I know is what I know. I do know they're my higher power. I call that God. And if anybody's offended, I'm sorry, but that's what I call God, and God's my heart. But I don't have it is what it is. I don't know anything else, but I do know that I am very aware of things that are negative, and I know that it's important for me to take a breath and be still and listen to the voice of silence for me. So it's in the same, pretty much. Do you follow me? I think.
Yeah, I think so too, and I agree with you both. Like Steve is saying, it's teamwork. You have your team that you work with, your guides, and so you do. And it's a discussion with them. I mean, they also have their integrity and their personalities and so forth. So I think it's neat that you bring that out. That it's really good teamwork, and there are parameters. Yeah,
and I really like the way you've described teamwork, and also the team changes and develops just as it does in a business, you know, or in a family. It's very exciting, and I really like the fact that we can ask for spirit's help, we can ask for guidance and inspiration. And I had an interesting experience the other day. You know, I wanted to do some writing work, and I did a meditation and said to spirit, you know, do we really have access to all sources of inspiration? And the response I had was, yes, give it a try. So I laughed, because I have a good relationship with my guides, and I get away with my humor and some of the difficult elements of my character. It's just I am who I am. You know, that's the way it is.
Steve, you're cute. You know, we must be having a... Wasn't Arthur part of the round table? You're royalty. When it comes down to it, Steve, you are the royalty guy here. I mean, yeah. Now that we're at the round... But, you know, no, I'm not laughing. I'm laughing not... This is who I am. I just am humorous. But, you know, this is very interesting, because this also goes into not just spirit, but who we are surrounding ourselves with as well, and for support, like a team, like you're talking about. Even yes. though without the non-spirit, like the team here, or the team like... Because, you know, that to me, it's like the community, a feeling of community, of camaraderie, of that, which can help you check yourself. Check yourself, and also keep your intentions right and focused. And the intentions are very, very important. And therefore, and also to have a sense of humorous thing, but also know when somebody, even if they're not, that is around, like people that we're called our environment, like let's say you people I'm here with as host, can keep me at check and balance too if I'm not, or you know, that to me is very important. And that again is energy off of energy again. Energy.
Yeah, and it's teamwork. It's neat. Same for all of us.
Yeah, right? And also to have a trust in that. So not to, you know, because we all can probably go into places where we know that that wasn't, and I was told to go on the mental, like Stephen was talking about Hill. Mel, okay. I mean, well, basically, and I know about, never mind about that, but, you know, I wanted to ask you, Laura, about, thank you, Steve, for that. That was great. I really
appreciate
it. Yeah, it was very, I like that. And, Laura, what is the survival, I've never heard of this. This is interesting to me. What is the survival hypothesis, right?
Yeah. Well, what it is it's really a hypothesis about the continued existence of personality after, we'll say, death, quote unquote, because death to us is just the continuation of life, because if there is an afterlife, then you drop your physical body, but not your, I don't know what you'd call it, that spirit of or soul of who you are that we talk about in religious or spiritual places, that is your eternal, you know, soul. So it's really about the continued existence of the personality after death of the physical body, and it's described by the survival hypothesis. A person's personality is in a symbiotic relationship with a physical body, and this relationship enables a normally etheric point of view to inhabit the physical aspect of reality. So this is all very scientific, okay? The way we look at it as psychics and the way we would describe it is a little different, but this is very scientific. So the purpose of this is to enable the personality to have physical experiences to gain an understanding about the operation of reality given the constraints of the physical realm. Does that make sense? That's what the survival hypothesis is about. And then they have their... Then they have their theory. They say the personality is separate from the physical body based on what they've studied. And when the physical body is no longer able to sustain life, the personality is no longer able to inhabit the physical body. So the personality returns its focus of attention to the etheric realm in a process known as death, dying, or more correctly, what we would call transition. And so do the people, the scientists who study this stuff, like Stephen. And the transition is to an energetic reality that is said to be for assessment and understanding, this would be learning, of one's previous life experiences before entering into another new reality for further experiences and learning. So while they're in this intermediate stage where they drop their physical body, they're in transition, the personality is able to communicate with personality still in the physical world. So they're still surviving. And for Nancy, I want to say her daughter is still surviving based on this and what I believe and what their survival hypothesis is about. So what they found with that. So the survival hypothesis is concerned with the relationship of personality to physical, the transition, the nature of the greater reality, and the mechanisms of the transetheric influence. So that's what that's about.
Thank you, Allura. That's really great stuff, and thank you for researching that because this goes.
I know it's amazing. It's amazing what they found through some. Thank you.
So okay. You know, everybody, I want to let you know. Unfortunately, and sadly enough, Miss Peg is having her relationship with her computer just isn't doing too well tonight. And bless her heart, and the computer better get it together. But she has boundaries with that computer.
We need to set them.
Those boundaries crossed, and so she's not able to join us back on the show. So, but that's okay because she's here in spirit, and she's around here still on the round table. So it'll be Steve and myself and Allura that will be doing readings. And again, unfortunately, there's a lot of stuff. I think she might have said this in the planetary weather. If anybody might have listened, there might be stuff like this. But anyway, we are getting to do our readings, okay? So we have come to that part of the show where we will be taking your calls, but we cannot take calls tonight, unfortunately, because now that has gone down. But that's okay because we are all used to doing it in the chat room. And so, Nancy, we're going to be addressing yours, as you know, but anybody else get ready about thinking about questions for us because that's how we're going to be doing our readings tonight. And please note, I don't have to say anything that never mind. I was going to say, note that you'll be put on hold, but you won't be. So if anybody, I'm going to the chat right now because I've been kind of preoccupied, everybody. So here I am. Here I am. So hi, Dan, anybody, did they catch anybody wanting readings in here? Oh, hi, everybody new that came in.
Yes, I do. I don't. Do you want to?
Yeah, because I wasn't paying attention to.
Not a problem. I know you're busy. Okay. So what? The first thing we want to get to Nancy first, right?
Yes, I believe so. And Nancy, thank you for
I know that we have discussed, by the way, a lot with Nancy. But go ahead. I'm sorry, I interrupted.
No, it's okay. I wanted to let everybody know. Nancy sent in a question. Do you still have that? Nancy,
I do.
Okay, I want read this. So this is why we want to address Nancy, and this is Nancy's question.
Okay,
go on.
Our 15-year-old daughter commits suicide on November 19, 2009. I have tried to use a digital recorder to contact her. Unfortunately, to date, I have not been able to contact her. I really want to know if she is in heaven and if she ever visits. I have been told I am intuitive. However, since her death, I have not had any sense of her. I was the one to find her and had to cut her down. This might be the problem. Can you help me in any way? So I'm...
Hey.
Now, I know Steve, Peg, and I were talking to Nancy in the chat room. Steve, did you want to start with what you have or what
Absolutely.
You found?
I'd love to. The first thing I get for Nancy about her daughter, or the first thing that Spirit showed me when she mentioned her daughter in chat was Tweety Pie, the yellow cartoon character, the bird, and Sylvester the cat. And I've seen these two characters very clearly, and there's some kind of connection with those characters, but also Nancy's daughter showing me a T-shirt. So it's almost as though she's showing a T-shirt with these characters on, but I feel as though there's a great fondness of cartoons. And it's interesting what you were saying before about the continued existence of the soul and the fact that when we pass to spirit, we leave our body behind. It's a shell that we no longer require, just as, you know, when you're out in the rain, you use an umbrella, and when it stops or you go back into your home, you put it away. And you were talking about personality continuing, and I'm always amazed when I do do connect with spirit, that it's really the strong sense of personality that comes through. And the personality that I get with Nancy's daughter is really, really buoyant, really bubbly. She's quite up and down. So she could be a little naughty at times. She could be a little difficult, but also she has got a wonderful heart, and she's a real sort of cheeky smile and really sparkly bright eyes. And she, just as she could be a little cheeky and a little challenging, she could be extremely affectionate, tactile, and very warm, and she indeed is now. She talks about daffodils, so I see these beautiful arrangements of daffodils, although they don't look as though they're in a vase. They look as though they're growing, and she's showing me this beautiful greenery and trees and these beautiful yellow daffodils. And she has a child with her. There's a little girl with her. She looks about 7 years old, and I get the name. It's definitely beginning with an A, but it sounds like Anise or Alice. And she says that this is a child that she has with her in spirit. She's talking about driving as well. She's saying that she drives, and she's talking about driving. So I get the feeling that she was always excited about wanting to learn to drive. But she seems very happy, very settled, and she also gives the name. She gives the name of a girl. I'm not sure whether it's a friend here with us, but she talks about a Gina or a G, and she passes on affection to a friend whose name begins with G. As I said, it sounds like Gina, but I hear sounds and don't always get the full name. But she's got lots of energy and fun, and it's certainly very happy and very close to her mother. She says that she does give Nancy signs. So, Nancy, you do sense your daughter, and I don't believe that you need to use EVP to communicate with her. She'll communicate with you in your heart, and what you sense, what you feel, is the truth. And if you want further evidence from her, then ask her to show you some signs. They may be unusual coincidences or symbols that crop up, but I promise you that she's saying that she will give you signs. And she's ringing a little bell, and I'm not sure whether that's, but she's using a humour to say it's my turn, I need to stop talking and pass on. But she's using this little bell, and she's talking about this little bell. It's like a little brass bell, and it belongs to a member of the family. I believe that as though it belongs to her grandmother or great grandmother, but this bell should be significant in some way. And I feel as though the sound of a bell, the tingle of a bell, is a sound that she will use to remind Nancy that she's ever present and has a huge amount of love and affection for Nancy and the family.
Yes, I also get something for you, Nancy. Get a couple things. One is, yes, she most definitely visits with you. She is with you for sure. I get a lot of really wonderful energy and with you. And I believe you mentioned something about your husband. So it's with you and your husband. She is fine. The one thing she would ask of you is so that you can be happy would be prayer for you and also your husband to say prayers for yourselves, for your own healings, so that, because obviously you love her and she loves you, and she wants to see you happy, and that way you can have more of a relationship. And I believe that's part of the reason why you may not sense her at this point, which is totally understandable from our perspective. But that's really important. It's really important. It's time for you to heal. There was another thing that I had, and oh gosh, it came and went. But it has to do with being true to yourself. If you say prayers for yourself and you become whole, and you heal, and your husband does, that is actually what she needs in order to be true, in order for her, she will still be true to herself, but I guess in order for her to be whole. The one thing is, I know you asked is if she's in heaven or not, and the first thing I felt was that's a limiting concept for you, and I think really what you're asking is if she's okay, if she's happy, if she's fine, and the answer would be yes. I feel that she is, and it should be even better to know that you are.
That's beautiful. That's, you know, I'm sorry, Laura, were you, I didn't mean to.
Yes, no, that's fine. That's fine. I'm finished. Sure.
And I do have some extra, additional things. You know, Nancy, again, a heartfelt everything for your, for everything, everything around everything this. And, but you know, this is very interesting to me. This is what I feel. The feeling I get, she's like a star. She's shining. And, you know, again, I was raised a Catholic, and I know about the idea behind it, but like people know me, all I know is what I know. I do not believe that we are going to be struck down in the middle of either nor there. She's a shining star. I see her. In fact, I would doubt it if you haven't already. I would, I don't know where you live, but when you want to have any connection, look at the stars, and a shooting star will come flying out at you. And sometimes when it looks so overcast, you'll be surprised. She'll connect with you within, like, if a shooting star. I feel like she's a star. Metaphorically, I'm saying this, but you know, she's shining. She feels really good. She feels, it's like her hopes are just so, it's lovely. And I'm not meaning this in a bad way, because she left here and she left you behind, but her highest potential is going on right now. Maybe she was called upon for a reason. Although, unfortunately, the how it was done in this physical plane was pretty intense. But I think that she's very well suited in the environment she's in. She's a helper. It's better than heaven. It's the go between, and I feel that she is as well able to connect with you in the physical where you are right now. Yeah, so you were raised and you're recovering Catholic. I'm reading. yeah, bless your heart, because I know recovering. I love that stuff. good, because you know I'm Catholic, I can understand that. There is no purgatory. You know, purgatory. I'm not saying she was so much not to be here. I don't think she could. She didn't. You know, I can identify more than this. You'll ever know what she did. I don't want to tell my story, but I can identify. I don't know if that. Maybe she wasn't. At any rate, she was meant to be here. She was on loan. All of our children are on loan, really. I feel from God. They're loners, and we're supposed to do the best we can. But and it's not that there was anything you did wrong. But I think she. Whatever reason she had, and I'm not saying her choice was her choice. She did this, and it was devastating. But you know, I just want to let you know she's doing very well. She's thriving, and even though like Laura said it well, my feelings are that she brought something up about your relationship. You do. Are you in a marriage relationship? You have someone that you're grieving with your daughter. Yes, I presume so. Is there a 12-step program? Yeah, I know, Steve. Nancy, are you? I thought. Well, Laura said something about your husband, so I'm not clear on that. But I feel that this is what is concerning me more so. It's about you two needing to come out of negative judgment about what went on, and bringing yourself back to life, because that's what she wants. And I really think that she's almost like God, I see her so much of a star. She's like emerging with such a glimmer of hope. She now is, I don't think she was in pain at all. And I'm not telling anybody out there to go ahead and do this, by the way, okay? But no, I think, she wasn't in pain. I don't feel, you know, she was like a shining light even when she was around before she did this. I don't think she was she's an exceptionally very interesting young girl that had a very enlightened way of being in this world, maybe because she was so young. But she's, you know, she's there. She's up there in the stars, but she's also in between. I do get the feeling that she's within the earth, the flowing of the water and the unconsciousness. So I do feel very much so that there is a very strong feeling that you can connect. You can have a hello, you know, and you do not judge her, and I'm so glad. But see, don't judge yourselves is what my point is, too. This is the most, yes. And Lil brought that up. Do not, this will be the downfall. And she would be broke, that would break her heart more than anything. And she is your shining star. Even if she's not here, look, I mean, it sounds silly as it may seem. I see looking up at stars like, you know, Steve said something about flowers. You know, I'll pick up on stars or flowers or hands and feet. Or I smell things. I'm a person that smells a lot. And I think that, you know, it's almost like in a way she's moving towards the destination she's to be at. And but I see her as a beautiful maiden up in the stars, a beautiful maiden kneeling with one of her feet are like, there's that feet stuff again, are on the land, and the other is in the water up, you know. And I think that she will step upon the land. Oh, I know you did, Nancy. She's saying we did all we could for some people that don't know it. I know you did. And it wasn't that, but, you know, I know it's happened, and now it's like, okay, I feel really good energy from her. And I know she had a depression problem, or else she would have probably been in this position. I don't think she didn't understand what was going on in this world. This world is pretty difficult right now. And sometimes I could feel for her, because it's emotional isolation when you're that young, and it's very difficult for some of us to be that young and not really, it's not to do with the parents, it's where do you fit in. And she found a way out, and maybe it wasn't the best way out, but she is doing well, and she is shining, and she, there's nothing negative I feel for her about whatever she did. So I hope that helped you. I mean, look at the stars. Final shooting star will be from her. So, yeah, that's my take. So bless your heart. And we have talked to you back too. So I hope that helped, Nancy, from all of us. I really hope so. And
we do have another question.
We do, okay. And we also have talked to you, but like, let's do the question. And then,
oh, okay. I believe this is from Tisha. I'm not sure. I can't remember who asked this, but it's a question from the chat room. I want to know if my mom and grandmother are around me. I try to feel them and get scents, like when you smell, get scents, but nothing else. Nothing. I used to smell my grandmother. Oh, I used to smell my grandmother's perfume. Sorry, I didn't see a period there. I used to smell my grandmother's perfume, but I haven't in years. So she wants to know if her mom and grandmother are around her.
Okay, I got this really quick. I don't mean to interrupt, but you know this is interesting. She brings that up. I too, it's interesting. I smell my grandmother once in a while will come, and I smell her. I think I told you about this on the show. Her Avon rub-on perfume. She was a granny. She was 97 when she died, and I feel very strongly about to pay attention about the smelling of your grandmother or what this smells like. I smell perfume of hers, and it was awful. So it was not, that wasn't the best smelling perfume, but it's a perfume that I think I think the bottom line is absolutely to your question, is your grandmother especially, she's around whenever you smell that scent. I don't know if I'm answering that question or helping her at all, but I just had to jump in because I do that with my grandmother every few years when my dad's really sick. She comes around by smell.
Good for you. I'm sorry. I was just picking up on the energy and the questions here. Jimbo asks, my father died in 1989. I'm sorry. Anybody else? I'm sorry, Steve. Did you have an answer to that question as well before we move on?
Sure. That's fine. We're reading together, so you know, I really like working with you because I can feel that we're connecting together. So who says what is not really an issue. A couple of quick things about this lady's grandmother. There's some kind of joke about glasses, either and spectacles. Being lost frequently or being broken. So there's something funny. She just mentions spectacles and this funny situation about glasses. So that should make sense. And she's also, I'm talking about crosswords. So I feel as though she's very fond of words and puzzles because she's talking about crosswords. There's a huge amount of love and She's giving the initial M as well. So I was thinking of you, Maureen, when I heard M, but she gives the initial M, and sounds like a lady that's in spirit with her. It feels like a sister that she has with her whose initial begins with M. So maybe it's Maureen, maybe not, but she's doing very well and in good company. That's what I have.
Right, and I also get that mom and grandma are around you, both. Grandma has a lot of wisdom, inner knowledge, and mom has a lot of love. There's been a lot of changes with mom, so I just want to tell you that. Okay? And
I like that. Do you know our phone line? I put the phone number. The lines are up now, everybody, if you want to call in. I know we get used to it, if anybody, but there's a question already, although I haven't been paying attention if already. If there is one.
Yeah, so there is. Okay. There is another one.
Fine, let's go for that.
Let me see. This is from Jimbo.
Okay.
He says that my father died in 1989 after a fall that left him a quadriplegic. Is he still interacting with me, and what would he like to tell me?
Okay, I want to ask Jim, is he still interacting with you? Well, has he been interacting with you? I guess I want to ask you, Jimbo, because the reason I'm asking is because if you have insight that already about that, then that would be helpful. Because if you could just say yes or no, is he interacting with you? Or maybe if you're not thinking he is, but you think, you know. Or you're confused about it.
Maybe you can answer.
Yeah, if you could answer that, that would be helpful. Because then, you know, it comes down to that we can pick up on it, but then you already know that he is interacting. But Jimbo, can you say, I'll just focus in on it as well. But I keep thinking Jimbo's going to be saying something. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, that helps matters. Okay. All right, then. So, that's intense. Okay. So he fell. He had a quadriplegic, and I'm talking out loud, aren't I? I should have been mute. Okay. Nancy, I know your heart's breaking.
I know. Just know that's a release. I feel for you. This is a release from the information you've gotten tonight. And once you do that. You're going to start your healing if you choose to go there, but it's because you've been carrying this grieving energy for so long, and it's now, this has opened you. This has opened you. It's a release. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm just saying stars will help her.
I know you do. I know you miss her, but it's a release, and now you can begin your healing, so this is a good thing. The other thing is, Maureen, I don't know if I was kind of checking the chat room, but the other question Jimbo asked is he still interacting with me, his father, but what would he like to tell me? Does anybody get anything on that?
Any message of some sort. Yeah, I was just saying this one thing. You know, my feeling is that he would tell what I'm getting is that you need to get back into your I get a feeling that you've been laying down a little bit low, and I'm not a nasty person or mean person. I'm not a mean girl, but I think there's a little bit of a depression. Somewhat, I feel almost like you've been trying to be meditative or there's a laid up feeling that you being laid up, like in bed, or not feeling. It's a little bit of depression, but also you're trying to meditate. Just all these things, it's just kind of uneasy. And there's a twinge of depression feeling. But I feel that his message is that he would really like for you to get up, because I think a lot of things have not been very fair or just for you. And it is what it is. Stuff like that happens. But I feel that you're not focusing on your creative, whatever you want to call it, hobby, which I feel later would become very much of a material gain later, but you're not doing that. But you need to get back into your creative work, and you're not doing that. And by doing that, your father would be really, he would be very pleased with that, because he knows how much it means to you. And I see you using your hands. I'm not clear if it's drawing, writing, or architect rendering, something. But you've done this before, but you have set it aside. And that's
Maureen, I would just like to reinforce what you've said there, because when I ask my guides to provide insight for this gentleman, they talk about the father's frustration because his son is not pursuing his passion. And it's definitely using his hands. It's definitely artistic. So it feels more like painting to draw than drawing to me, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's also sculpture. But the message I get very clearly is that this gentleman can help ease his father's frustration and by doing the right thing for himself, and that's really using his talents and making sure that his artistic talent doesn't go to waste. So exactly. Just to reinforce what you've said, I'm feeling that very strongly.
I just had my two cents to jump in there and add, but I also get that you're also not doing what you really love. It's been tough for you, but this will feed your soul, and it's going to really make you bloom. So if you really get in touch with those things that inspire you, I don't know what it is. It may be art, as Maureen and Steve are saying. I'm not getting so much what that part of it is, but that it feeds your soul, and it's that spiritual part of you that it connects to. So this is really, really very important for you to express. And I also get some, I don't know if you do writing or something, but I'm seeing you speak, although you're not doing it. So I think we're all kind of hitting on something that's really important for you to do that, which feeds your soul, get it out. Because when you do that and you share it with others, you're also helping them expand. So you're not only cheating yourself, but you're cheating others if you don't. So this is really important to you. It's part of your purpose. It's part of your purpose in life. So it will really do wonders for everyone, yourself and others.
And your father would be, that's what he would like to see you thriving in. Because I can understand why. I can see that.
Yeah.
So is there anybody else? I haven't been keeping up. Is there another question? Or our phone line is open for anybody who would like to know, but they want to call by phone. Mar, you're in there. I see Mar. I see a butterfly. Barbara. Let me see. I don't know if there's. Did you guys?
There's no. I don't see. I don't see any more questions. But
it's time to close. Then I mean, actually.
Yeah.
Maureen, yes. And Laura, can I just say? I just wanted to say a couple of things, if you don't mind, because it's my first show with you guys, and the first thing I want to say is thank you for the opportunity to work with you. I feel the energy is really gentle, but it's also very strong, and I'm very excited about the show. I feel as though we'll make very strong connections, and it will work really nicely. But I also wanted to just ask if I'm able to. The callers to, or the people listening to the show, just to encourage people to pick up the phone if they can, because I feel as though we can read very successfully for people as we are, but if we hear the voice as well, it does really help. So I just wanted to say that, and thank you to you guys for allowing me to have the honor of working with you.
Oh, and same likewise, Steve.
Likewise, great, Steve, you really are, and you know, and also the call, and I agree with that, because it's also nice to hear the voices, and we didn't know till the last minute, but we really appreciate all of you coming in, Nancy, as you as well, being very brave and opening up all that private business up, and I do hope that we helped you somewhat, help with the caring heart that we all have that some way. And
absolutely.
So that brings us to the end of yet another outstanding show. I feel that it was. And I wish to thank my co-host and our executive producer, Doug, for being so supportive. And Steve, again, we are thrilled to have you join our team. We really, really, really are. So
absolutely.
My pleasure. It's meant to be.
It's been lovely. And so next week's show will be anchored by Allura. And Allura, what can we look forward to next week?
Well, next week we're going to speak about the Kabbalah. I've always been interested because I'm Jewish, but I've never been allowed because they wouldn't allow women to study Kabbalah. So to talk about the Kabbalah, it's an ancient Jewish mysticism and wisdom that has been hidden for thousands of years. It's the study of the hidden forces of a higher order that govern our world. So our special guest will be Christopher Joyner. He's a very different and special rabbi because he was born and raised a Southern Baptist. He later became a Christian minister, and at 33, he converted to Judaism and studied Kabbalah for 5 years in Israel. And today, he's known as Rabbi Yeshua Baruch Ben Avraham. So I thought that was so interesting. And he's also very different because he teaches the Kabbalah to anyone who would like to learn. Now, this differs from the rule regarding the secret Kabbalah teachings. Kabbalah was never taught to women, even Jewish women, nor non-Jewish people in the past. That's been a long-standing rule. And Rabbi Joyner is exceptional because he feels a sense of purpose to bring light to humanity and our planet by teaching Kabbalah to everyone, all people who wish to learn. So that means everyone. When I say everyone, I mean everyone. Women, Gentiles, Jewish people, whoever, everyone. So I'm asking you to join us as we welcome Rabbi Joyner to learn why Kabbalah has been kept a secret for so long until now and why it's so important to all people spiritually and for our sacred planet to learn more about Kabbalah. And with that, I'm going to thank you all for being with us tonight. Stephen, you are absolutely wonderful. You're gracious, and we're so glad to have you with us. And I'm so looking forward to the energy we're all going to generate together from here on out. I look forward to having everyone with us again next week. God bless you. God bless to everyone, and have a great week.
Steve, you want to say goodbye? Yeah.
It's just God bless. Thank you.
And like I say, thank you all of you for joining us tonight. All of you, we really think you're great. And bless your hearts and have a lovely week, weekend, and every other day of the year. So goodbye.